That's Elash here in the studio, and starting us off with a little sort of a cappella tour de force of the sort of famous overtone vocalizing from Tuva the Humay. Sean Quirk is here with us. He's Elash's, what should I say, compatriot here in North America. Hey, Sean.
Howdy.
And
hi.
Hey, thank you guys so much for coming. Thank you. And that was great. And, well, Sean, tell us, what was that first piece there we heard?
That was a acapella number that Elash has arranged. It's an old Tuvan verse about life at the nomadic summer herding camps of the Tuvan people. The Tuvans traditionally have lived a nomadic life, moving every season to a different camp, depending on the needs of their animals. And that just featured all four members of Elash performing throat singing together in sort of a new arrangement. So there was nothing instrumental whatsoever there. That was all human voice.
Is the culture still, I hear a lot of nomadic cultures are now settled, like in North Africa and so on. Are the Tuvans, does that culture still exist?
Yes, it definitely still exists very strongly. It's a mix, of course, in Tuva. Between settled life and people living the nomadic life. Luckily, compared to other areas in their region, which is southern Siberia, right there down next to Mongolia, they're part of the Russian Federation, and some of their nearer neighbors had been a part of Russia for much longer, so they lost their nomadic life a lot more. In Tuva, you still have a significant portion of the population that sticks to, they might be using trucks and jeeps to nomadize, but they're still living in yurts for the most part and raising animals. So there's still a very strong connection to the traditional culture that wasn't erased by their times under Soviet power.
Do you want to tell a little bit about the origins of Elash? They formed originally in school, right?
That's right. Elash is Ayen Shirajik, Ayen Olsam, Badidorju Ondar, and Nachin Chodu. They all went to the Kazil College of the Arts and formed Elash in their first year at art school, or at music school, rather, in 1999. They had a mutual interest in Tuvan traditional music, and at first there was about 12 members, but over the course of the year, the more serious musicians became apparent, and after about 2 years or so, the nucleus of Elash formed. So they've been together as an ensemble for 10 years this year.
Not bad. And there's been sort of a flourishing of Tuvan traditional ensembles. Did it used to be that is the idea of a Tuvan ensemble kind of a new thing, as putting together the singing and the instrumental playing?
I'd say it dates back to about the last 50 to 60 years, sure. Again, this is another result of that Soviet messing around with culture. Tuvan music primarily, not exclusively, but primarily was a solo sort of thing, especially concerning the throat singing and the instrumental music. They didn't really have ensembles and orchestras. And the Soviets, of course, after they put them into settled towns and villages where they could have ensembles, started experimenting with putting people into state-sponsored ensembles. And so that began there. And then in the 90s, the early 90s, when communism fell, there were some Tuvan musicians who were experimenting with basically this format of arranging Tuvan instruments to really go together. And a lot of credit has to go to Hunhur too for that, who were sort of the first group to come out of Tuva after the fall of communism.
So, Sean, what were the instruments we're hearing there?
Well, they're all traditional Tuvan instruments. We have a couple of stringed bowed instruments that you heard. One is the bazanchi. It's a four-stringed bowed instrument, similar to an arhu, but the strings are made of hair, and the bow actually... It has four strings, and the bow has two strings, which go in between the four strings. Next to the bazanchi is the igil, which is a two-stringed horsehead fiddle instrument, a very old instrument. Some people say it might be the ancestor of the cello. It's held between the legs. Next to him, we have Ayanol on the dosh palur. It's a three-stringed sort of skin box plucked instrument, sort of like a banjo, I guess you could say, a Tuvan banjo. And then Ayan, of course, was playing the drum called the kengirge. Sort of about a 63-centimeter in diameter bass drum with some jingle bells on top for doing horse-type stuff.
And the horse is very important.
Indeed. It's the key to Tuvan culture.
And Alash, again, the website is alashensemble.com. Sean, how did you hook up with these guys, Sean?
I had heard Hunter too, actually, at the end of my college years. I was a musician in Minnesota and became fascinated with throat singing, just very taken by the art, taken by Tuvan music in general. Over the next couple of years, I worked at teaching myself while working at various odd jobs in Chicago, Illinois. Ended up singing on the back of my bike as I delivered packages around the loop. And eventually got a Fulbright to go over there in 03. Went over there. These guys became my friends and my teachers. And just sort of ended up staying there after the Fulbright year. Met a young woman, got married, got into the National Orchestra, and just have dedicated my life to promoting and educating about Tuvan music and culture.
And I should say that on the Alash website, there's some, you can learn a little bit about that, as well as there's really nice images and information about the instruments. Of course, you can get the CD and gig info, everything else, get in touch. So I highly recommend alashensemble.com. You should, if nothing else, go to the website, take a look at the instruments, because they're really beautiful and unique to the region. And so again, it's alashensemble.com. Hey, I have one last, most of the songs that you guys do, that they do, are traditional songs to some extent?
That's right. They're mostly 95% traditional. The arrangements are what's new. The Alash's way of arranging them for four voices and for four different instruments. That's what's new. But most of the Tuvan musicians out there performing traditional stuff are doing things that have come from their grandparents, great-grandparents, and, you know, on through their families or their friends.
Yeah, and that was a great case in point. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much. Alash, A-L-A-S-H, ensemble.com. Thanks so much to Mark Triant for engineering. Doing a great job. And there you go. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.